Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 8. New Living Translation. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 8. It says, pray in the Spirit at all times and on every occasion. Stay alert and be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere. Hallelujah. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 18. New Living Translation of the Bible. Pray in the Spirit at all times and on every occasion. Stay alert and be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 17. Same New Living Translation. I like how that one says, never stop praying. That's an opportunity for you to talk to your neighbor this morning. Tell that person, never stop praying. Oh, you don't sound like you mean it. Say it with boldness. Say, never stop praying. Look for yet another neighbor and tell the person, never stop praying. Come on, preach to that person for me this morning. Tell the person, no matter what you're going through, whether it is good or not, never stop praying. Hallelujah. Father, in the name of Jesus, inspire us, instruct us, enable us with your word. Fix us where we need a fixing. Show us what we did not know before now. Shift us in thinking and in understanding. In the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord, and we worship you. For in Jesus' name, we have prayed. For in Jesus' name, we have prayed. Yeah, the title of the message is The Prayer That Works. We're going to be in this for the next 4 weeks. The Prayer That Works. I don't know about you, but when I got born again, I struggled with prayer. And I know I'm speaking to people, some people who still struggle with prayer. The way prayer was introduced to me, it was boring. I'm very laborious. I don't know about you, but I would go to church in those days and I saw those prayer warriors. And you see, I didn't like sports. And pretty much when I went to church, the way they prayed in church felt more like sports. And so I got tired easily. And for me, it was just boring. You know, most of the time, I'm just trying to say the same thing over and over again. Because, you know, I'm just wondering, what do I have to tell him that I have to stay here for 2 hours? You know? So when they call a prayer point, while they are praying, I'm done praying. I'm just wondering. You told us to pray that that every demon that is attacking us should go. So if every demon that is trying to attack me, go in the name of Jesus. Amen. Then I'll be looking at them. Say, call the next point now. And then they'll be praying. And I'm always wondering, what are they saying? Anybody like that? Have you been there? I mean, you wake up in the morning and the next thing you want to do is pray. You know the challenge I have with Christians is they have enough issues. They will not be putting lie on top of it. Every time I give you opportunity to own it, you know, to come out, to let God know you have changed, you miss your cue. Anybody like that? Don't worry. It's okay. No, let me not say it. You see, so in those days, I tried everything to avoid prayer sessions. And I know some of you do the same thing. That's why if you go to a typical Pentecostal church, you know when they are going to start praying, you know where the prayer is going to end. You like the praise and worship, but you don't like the prayer. So you target when you are going to arrive. Anybody like that? Tell your neighbor, don't miss your cue, don't miss your cue. See, for some of you, this is your opportunity to prove to God that finally you have become a honest person. Don't miss your cue. Okay, I tried everything to escape prayer sessions. I won't go. When it's a prayer meeting, we don't go at all. Vigil, you cannot catch me there sleeping. I'm not there at all. Because it's a prayer meeting, I know they will pray all through the night. I don't go for that one. Okay, I tried everything. But I couldn't escape the guilt and the void I felt due to my prayerlessness. Deep within me, I knew that something was missing. I didn't like praying, but I couldn't quit. Or better still, God couldn't let me go. But my story today has changed. At least if you don't know about my prayer life, for some of you, you have been praying with me now every day for like about 5 months. So the story has changed. Over the last 24 years, I've learned so much about prayer and how to pray effectively. And some of those principles is what I want to share in the course of this series. See, let me tell you the way church can be. Except you meet the preacher or the teacher who really wants to help you. There are certain things in church that people know, but they don't talk about. And prayer is one of those areas. I've asked questions for so many of my mentors. It's because I'm not the kind of person that will conform if I have a struggle. So I kept questioning, and some of the answers I've been able to find out that has brought me to this point where I wake up in the morning and I want to pray. Okay, some of those answers are the things I want to share with you this morning. This is the first one. The greatest hindrance to cultivating a habit of consistent prayer is ignorance and indiscipline. Okay, Let's take it step by step this morning. The greatest hindrance to cultivating a habit of consistent prayer is ignorance and indiscipline. Let's take care of indiscipline first. This is what I found out. That prayer was not the problem. Everything necessary for me to succeed in life is laborious and boring. I thought it was prayer. But I found out that everything necessary to move forward in life is demanding. It's on the other side of pain. It's easy to spend, difficult to save. Why is it so easy to read gossip magazine or blog, and the moment it's time to read the Bible, I start sleeping? Have you noticed? It's not the Bible that is the problem. Even school books. Have you noticed? When I'm reading magazine, time just flies. I mean, I read novels, but the moment it is biology, that's the truth. Gisting with your friends is not a problem, but talking with God is difficult. Okay? Why is it difficult to eat healthy things? But I don't need help when it's ice cream and cake. I found out that the things that will destroy me in life, they come cheap. They come easy. Zero resistance. The things that move me forward in life require effort. Let's start from there. So you are not going to develop a consistent habit of prayer if you don't understand that praying is like exercising. It looks nice on TV. It feels different in real life. I'm telling you the truth. Six-pack looks nice. But the process to six-pack is not funny at all. It looks good when they are selling exercise equipment. See, this is the problem. They look for people who are already fit to tell people that if you do what they are doing, you will be fit. That's the problem. Delta soap, Lux. The ladies were beautiful before they advertised. You will now use it and use it and use it and use it and use it. I say, give me your shishé. I'm telling you the truth. I'm telling you the truth. I'm on a diet right now, and once in a while, a few people will tell me, Pishak, you're losing weight. Very nice human beings in my life. When I get home, my wife says, I don't know. I can't see it. Even I can't see it. But it's not funny. I'm telling you, you can ask Ibrahim. I eat the same thing every morning, and it's not funny. Why did I start doing it? Because I discovered that everything I need to move forward in life is challenging. Everything. I'm telling you the truth. There is nothing that moves you forward in life that comes easy. Nothing. So when it comes to prayer, you have to develop the same attitude. Well, I could fire my trainers. I couldn't fire the Holy Spirit. So I'll show you the way forward. I'll show you the way out. So that's the first thing you need to put at the back of your mind. The second thing is ignorance. Now listen to this. When you don't know what you're supposed to know about prayer, you will lack motivation to pray. Do you understand? It's not easy when you start. Yes, the flesh will be complaining. But the moment you understand the truth about prayer, you understand the impact of prayer, and you understand how to pray effectively, you will be motivated to pray. The same way I'm dieting, I'm exercising at my level. I've even figured out later on that I didn't need a trainer for what I'm trying to. And some of the things I'm going to share with you, okay, even as far as prayer is concerned, it's the same thing. Many of us were intimidated out of prayer. Hallelujah. By people who said they were praying, but were not effective in prayer. I don't know about anybody, you respect them for their prayer life, but you don't want their life. Anybody like that? You know somebody that prays, but you don't like their results. As a matter of fact, the only thing you know about them is the fact that they pray. The question is, if these prayers are being answered. Now, the fact that a person is sweating. If I remember one time like that, one guy came to meet, you know, my pastor and said, in my former church, the way we used to pray, that in this church, we don't pray. He said, in our former church, when we pray, we sweat. When you hear such people, just be nice. Emphasis in the statement is former church. If your former church was all that, why did you leave? Do you understand? Why did you leave? So, we have to shout. He's not deaf. Some people say, until you start crying, he's not a sadist. So, when God sees the way I'm crying. These are some of the things that people have injected over the years. Say, until you have been there for like 2 hours, really? 1,000 years is like a day before him. So even after your 12 hours, you are still starting. You are just starting. God does not want you to wake up in the morning and spend 5 hours. He wants to be with you 24 hours. It is more difficult to walk with him 24 hours than to dedicate 2 hours to him in the morning and go into your day and do what you like. And you are wondering why your prayer is not being answered. You prayed it at 6 a.m. At 12:30, when he wanted to give you an answer, you were no longer sensitive to him. You had gone back into carnality. Hallelujah. So it's ignorance. There are things we need to know that we don't know about prayer, and that's the reason why so many of us are not inspired to pray. When you understand what happens when you pray, even when you don't feel like praying, you will pray. Hallelujah. You will what? You will pray. Okay? So let me tell you a few things about prayer as we move on this morning. Prayer is talking to God and hearing from Him. We've always known that. Prayer is talking to God and hearing from Him. Listen to this other one. Prayer is one of the ways we invest time into fellowship with God. This is where some people begin to get lost. The primary objective of prayer is fellowship with God. He is not an ATM machine. Some people, anytime they go to God, they only go there to ask Him for things. And that's not the primary objective of prayer. The primary objective of prayer is fellowship with God. I said one of the ways. Meditating in His word is another way. Worshiping Him is another way. Hallelujah. Teaching His word is another way. You see, it's a beautiful thing. When two people start talking about God, He shows up. So He says, where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am. Are you getting this? So if you want God's presence, it's not that difficult. One or two. Gather. Two or three people gather and start talking about His word. It will show up. It's as simple as that. It's as simple as that. So prayer is one of the ways we what? We fellowship with God. Now listen to this. Through prayer, we tune into God's frequency. Okay? Through prayer, we tune into God's frequency that we may see from His perspective. Okay? Daniel understood difficult things because he made the habit of prayer. Okay, so this is what we are saying. When you invest time in prayer, you will quit at a point, you will stop thinking like a man, you will start operating in God's frequency. Are you getting it now? You will start operating from God's frequency, so when there is a situation, you will see it like God will see it, because you are a person of prayer. Are you getting this? Okay, the servant of Elisha came and said, we are surrounded. What did Elisha say? Father, deliver us. Father, deliver us. Father, deliver us. He said, no. Father, open his eyes. Are you listening to me? Some people look at issues and say, see problem. Another person looks at it and says, hey, see opportunity. Different perspective. And one of the things prayer does, see, regardless of the subject of the prayer, is that it shifts you from the frequency of men to God's frequency. So you will begin to see like God, think like God. Of course, then you will do what? You will behave like God. Hallelujah. Let's move on this morning. Prayer is a tool of dominion. Now, this is the connection between this series and the one we just concluded. We said God created us for what? Creativity, connectivity, and control. Prayer is a primary tool of control. For those who like the traditional expression, dominion. Dominion. It is with prayer that we make the power of God. We bring the power of God to bear on human experiences. Hallelujah. True prayer. James chapter 5 and verse 16. James chapter 5 and verse 16 to 18, New Living Translation. It says, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. Look at the next line. The earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results. Verse 17 says, Elijah was a human as we are. And yet when he prayed earnestly, that no rain would fall, none fell for 3.5 years. Then, when he prayed again, the sky sent down rain and the earth began to yield its crops. Do you know what that means? That you can tweak your earthly experience by prayer. Are you getting this? That you can control what is going on by prayer. Now listen, a lot of people like to go there. But if you forget fellowship, are you getting this? Listen to this. Let me put it this way. Some people's words are weighty with God because there are people who have invested time in fellowship with Him, and when it comes to God, they have no agenda. I hope somebody's getting that. One of the major undoing of so many Christians I know is that they have an agenda. When I tell people I don't use my faith for things, people are confused. Do you understand what I'm saying? That I don't use my faith. I will wake up and say, Father, in the name of Jesus. Mansion in Banner. That's why when my wife talks about all those kind of things, I just laugh. And she says, leave me alone. And I leave her alone. I'm not saying you don't have needs. I'm not saying those needs are not legitimate. You need to understand you serve a God who cares about you. When you carry his matter on your head, he will carry your matter on his head. When he said there should be no rain, was it because he had a farm? What was the need for him? I just need to quickly help somebody with that. When we tell you that prayer is a tool of control, we did not say it's a tool of manipulation. We don't say you can manipulate God with your prayer. We are saying when you align yourself with God's purpose, then he gives you authority to alter things on earth. Not for your end, but for his purpose. Are you getting it now? For his purpose. I run ahead of myself, but let's move ahead this morning. So prayer is what? It's a tool of control. The devil is afflicting somebody. You can undo the affliction by prayer. It's a tool of control. When you understand the power of prayer, you can never be stranded in life. I said, when you understand what? The power of prayer, you can never be stranded in life. This next one is very important. The greatest benefit of consistency in prayer is transformation. Please don't miss this one. The greatest benefit of consistency in prayer is not what you get, it's who you become. It is not what you get, it is who you become. That's what I'm saying. When you don't have an agenda, when you go there because of him, and you make a habit of prayer, you will notice over time you will be turned into another man. Why am I saying that? Because prayer saturates our hearts with God's presence and his word. And God said that my word is like rain. When it comes down, it does not return to me without accomplishing its purpose. So listen to this, what I'm trying to say. It's impossible for me to pray for your prosperity and I continue to be broke. Did you get that? It's impossible for me to pray for your healing and I continue to be sick. Because when I pray for your prosperity, I invoke the word of God over you. Now, the nature of the word of God is wherever it is released, it will produce. So as it is producing for you, without my asking, it will produce for me. That's the secret. Are you getting this? When I want to alleviate the pains of other people, and I declare by the power in the name of Jesus, pain cannot stay. Like I told you before, now I learned this from my pastor. The light that shines farthest, shines brightest near home. You can never see a dry running tap. The tap is not running because it needs to be wet, but by reason of what it is giving out, it benefits. You understand what I'm saying? So the Bible says the generous soul shall be what? Shall be made fat. He that waters others shall himself be water. Now, you are a man watering other people. God says, I will see to it that I water you. For all the young people envying pastors, this is the secret. We don't eat tithe and offering, we eat impact. And if you want to eat it, it's available. It's a buffet. But you will gym first. Are you getting what I'm saying now? When somebody says, I am a multi-billionaire right now, but I cannot write my story but for the involvement of this man. And you know what I like about people? Anything they do at their level. That's why you should stop fighting people who insult you. Whatever they call you is what they call themselves. When it's your birthday and somebody gives you something small, it's not a problem. They honor at their level. You keep upgrading, and as you upgrade, you would attract better people. When they want to treat you like they treat themselves. Tell your neighbor, I hope you got that one. So when I prioritize God's purpose, God's will, as the primary basis of my coming into his presence, he that walks with the wise shall be wise. A companion of God shall be. And with God, nothing shall be. Can you see it now? It is not because you took it to God. You see, when it says with God, it's not the issue with God. It is you with God. I fellowship with God. Then when I move away from God, I have carried on the nature of God because I fellowship with him. So the way mountains will skip like rams before God, they will skip because when they see me and they see God, they can't tell the difference. He has rubbed off on me. Lift up your heads, O ye gates. Be ye lifted, everlasting doors, that the King of glory may... See, the Bible said they marveled. These guys are unlearned men. But from the way they are talking, they've been with Jesus. They've not been with a rabbi. Oh, I'm not sure you got that. It's not just that they went to school. It's not just they went for a Bible class. Oh, they knew a bit of the Bible. We know specifically who they have been with. Not just because of the way they are talking, the way they are operating is exactly the way he used to operate. There was no problem they took to Jesus that did not get a solution. Read your Bible. And check the life of the apostles too. From after Pentecost, nothing was impossible for them. Are we getting this? The problem of our generation is agenda. They left all to follow him. We are following him to get as much as possible. Are we getting it now? That's our problem. Tell your neighbor for me, repent. Tell the person, repent. Say it again, repent. Listen, the word of God does not return to him void. So the word of God transforms you into whatever it says. Hallelujah. Let's move on because of time. This is what I'm trying to say to you. Every time you pray, you grow. I told you, prayer is challenging for the flesh when you just start. But when you understand prayer and the benefits of prayer, you'll be motivated to pray. When it dawns on you, every time I pray, I grow. See, this is what I'm trying to say to you. If you don't pray for 5 days, you try this. I know not praying for 5 days, it will not be difficult to come by. Okay? Especially for all the people that identified with me in the beginning of the message. Okay, it's easy for us to just do, man, I've not prayed for 4 days. But you try this. At the moment when you say to yourself, I've not prayed for 4 days, say to yourself, I'm going to pray in the Holy Ghost for the next 15 minutes. And start praying. And see what happens in just 15 minutes. Just 15 minutes of praying in tongues can undo 4 days of prayerlessness. The moment you engage prayer, transformation is taking place. The moment you engage prayer. So when you look at people, see, for example, there's, you know, one of us in church who will talk to me from time to time, Pishegs, this thing seems to be working for you, but it's not working for him. I mean, for me. And I tell him all the time, I started before now. If you don't quit, you too, in 5 years' time, in 10 years' time, how we are speaking is how you will be speaking. I'm telling you, I used to be outside. Musicians. When I'm hard on you guys, it's because I've been there. After praise and worship. There's just a way, you just find out that by the time the message is in the middle, we are all outside. Okay? And what are we doing? Everybody will have a reason. But you just notice that spirit that does not allow you to sit down during preaching. Village people. The only challenge is for most of us, we are the chairman of the village people. Even you yourself, that's when you say, I want to ease myself. The wee-wee that does not catch you at embassy. When they say, if you leave this queue, you have missed your point, you stay there. You will hold it. I'm a young man. Nah, I'm a young man. Hold it. But when it's time to pray, that's when you remember. I want to use the toilet. I want to drink water. That one baffles me. I see young men, 26 years old. I want to go and drink water. Are you pregnant? So I want to go and drink water. I want to go. If I don't drink water before the end of the service, they know themselves. I need to go and drink water. I need to go and. I've been there. I just started noticing that these people I'm following, they seem to be. I can't catch up. Listen, you are not going to catch up by being around. You are going to catch up by doing what they are doing. Listen, association, warmth can kill you. Some people don't know warmth. Oh, we are just good together. I just love going to church. After what, you will catch fire. Not the refining fire, the one that destroys. I'm telling you the truth. Some people will not develop resentment. Because after some time, the people that used to gist with you on the corridor will no longer be able to gist with you. Because they've moved, they are moving. Everybody is moving. But you are just happy to be around. It dawned on me, look, all these ones. I mean, I was a church boy, carrying instruments. I just noticed, but they are moving forward. I'm not moving forward. Then you don't notice, if you don't start praying the way they are praying, if you don't start reading what they are reading, you cannot become like them. And you see, you know what I found out? When people pity you, they give you stipends. When people honor you, they sow. The mistake people make is that they think it is only people that really, really, really honor and respect you that sow. No. Your contemporaries can sow when they see evidence of the grace of God on your life. I'm telling you, so all these are going to help me now. Tell your neighbor for me. In case you can't say it with confidence, just trust me. Tell the person, I don't need help. Say it with confidence, I don't need help. What I need is an opportunity. I'm telling you the truth. Say, yeah, Pele, take 5,000. You see, let me tell you, as I'm talking to you right now, if somebody dashes me 500,000 now, in the next 4 days, it has finished. Uh-huh. So what is the help of man? Why will anybody give you half a millionaire? Have you thought about it before? So all this association, uncle, auntie, uncle, how much do you really think can come from there? After you have neglected a God who can snap a finger and a prisoner can become a prime minister. Because in answer to your prayer, God is saying stuff. God is releasing ideas. But until we conform to those things, we don't attract some opportunities. Are you listening to me? There are some people I meet, immediately they open doors. And those doors are not accidents. Most of the time, they are doors I've seen before. I'm telling you the truth. Some places I've been to preach, years before I go there to preach, I see the picture, then I start walking towards it. The answer to prayer is not what happens. The answer to the prayer is who you become. Hallelujah. Who you become. Tell your neighbor for me, prayer works. The prayer that works is an expression of faith, not of feelings. The prayer that works is an expression of faith. Now I'm going into the nitty-gritty of my message, all right, for the next few weeks now. The prayer that works is an expression of faith, not an expression of feelings. Mark chapter 11 and verse 22 to 24 says, "Have faith in God," Jesus answered. "Truly I tell you, if anyone says to this mountain, 'Go, throw yourself into the sea,' and does not doubt in their heart, but believes that what they say will happen, it will be done for them." Verse 24 is where I'm going. "Therefore I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer," listen, "believe that you have received it and it will be yours." This verse has been in the Bible for thousands of years, but people pretend as if it's not there. You know what the problem is? Because some people are trying to use prayer to put themselves in a position to believe. So they're asking God based on what they want, how they feel. They cannot say categorically, "I have received." The prayer that works is an expression of faith, not an expression of feelings. It says, "Whatsoever thing you desire," when you pray. All right, here I come. That's your name now. Simeon, sorry. I christened you AY today. Joy is your portion in Jesus' name. Okay, hold this. You are me. I am God. Stand there. This is what the Bible is saying. "Whatsoever thing you desire," when you are praying, at the point of asking, what you are asking should be so real to you like it's in your hand. And you shall receive it. So asking is not as important as the state of your heart when you are asking. You got that? Thank you. And that's the reason why some of the things we attempt at times, people wonder, how did you know it's going to come to pass? It's not because we prayed about it, because we saw it, that was why we asked for it. And I'm going to show you how to get there. So I said, whatsoever. So for somebody, this is why you came to church. You have been praying for things, and after you pray, you're like that guy, "I believe, help my unbelief." There's something you need to do to get to the point where by the time you are asking for it, see, when I ask people for stuff, I don't ask them like they have an option. Let me say it to you in another way. I can say, "Kingsley, would you mind coming to the stage?" When I say that, you have the impression that you can either come or not. But when I say, "Kingsley, please come to the stage," in my tone of voice, my body language, it does not cross your mind that you can refuse. Do you understand what I'm saying now? "Ibrahim, come here. Come. Come. Come on, double up. Did you get it? I just want the whole world to know that this is Ibrahim. Thank you. Do you understand? Until you get to the point where when you are talking to God about something, it is as certain in your... "Ibrahim, come." See, stop. Go back. If I continue for the next 20 minutes, he's going to keep coming. Do you understand? There is a process that gets you there. Many people neglect that process and they say, "I've been praying about it." Whatsoever thing you desire, at the point of praying, you should believe that you have received it. Not that you shall receive it. "I've gotten it." So have you gotten it? I said, "Have you gotten it?" See, because if you have gotten it, it will affect the way you behave. The way you behave is actually the adjustment I've been talking about. Then you begin to attract it. You begin to attract it because you have become it. Because you truly believe that you have received it. James chapter 1 verse 5 to 7. "If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God." In other words, if you don't know exactly what to do, he says, "Ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you." Can you see that? You want to know what to do? You want to improve the quality of your life? Ask God. Hallelujah. Because God will give to you, okay, because he would not find fault. So the reason why a lot of people seemingly have unanswered prayers in their lives is because when they ask, they are not. See, this is what the Bible is saying. Fix your believing before you bother yourself with asking. An effective prayer life, therefore, is built on the foundation of consistent meditation in the Word of God. Please pay attention now. An effective prayer life, therefore, the kind of person that prays and sees results, that kind of lifestyle is built on the foundation of consistent meditation in the Word. I'm going to explain what I mean, and I'm done this morning. This is what I'm trying to say. If you pray for 20 minutes, invest 40 minutes in meditation in the Word. Whatever the amount of time you spend in prayer, double it. That should be the amount of time you spend in meditation of God's Word. So, Pastor, what am I supposed to do? This is it. Continue confessing the Word and praying in tongues until you come to clarity and conviction on any matter. Then pray accordingly. For example, if I want Hill City to move from here, and I want Hill City to move perhaps to maybe a property, you know, 5 acres, I'm not just going to, a lot of people think anything that is good, you should just pray for it. It's not everything good that is yours. It's not every opportunity that is yours. So if I start considering that kind of a thing, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to start declaring God's word. The Bible says, whatever I desire when I pray. So Father, I thank you. Bible says, delight yourself in the Lord and he will grant you desires of your heart. And I just keep praying in tongues. I keep praying in tongues. You know the reason why? I want to know the will of God concerning this matter. How do you know the will of God? From all those scriptures that you are confessing, he will send you your word. Do you understand? You will now know, this is my title deed. Now, the Bible says, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. When I approach him and I'm praying in tongues and I'm confessing the word, I'm in hope. It's an expectation, okay? It's a vision. This thing is possible. I can get this thing. But God needs to let me know, should I get it now? How should I go about getting it? And he will respond to me. He will now give me a word. That word is what I will present to him in asking. I'm not sure you got this. So let me not use that illustration. So you want to buy land, okay? For some of you, you pay for the land, you've not seen it before. Then they give you a document. That document proves that the land belongs to you. Then they will now say there is one day they are going to do allocation. And then you will now go, you have the land. You have that paper. Because you have that paper, that's why you got up that morning. Some other people saw the advert for allocation. They didn't bother. Because they don't have faith. Did you get that? There was a general advert, piece of land available, Mwebafu, whatever. Okay? If you buy this, so, and they say, I'm interested, and you pay, and they give you paper proving that what? You have land. You've not seen it. You've not received it. Then they said another message, on this, the 12th of September, meet us at this particular point. We are going to do allocation. Everybody heard it, but not everybody responded to that call. See, your faith is not, I desire it. Your faith is the paper you now hold in. In other words, we have been transacting business before. Me and this person, we know each other. This is what he has given me concerning this matter. When I get there that day, say, excuse me, I'm supposed to have 5 plots. Say, hey, where is your, this is my paper. So it's that faith that I present to God. How do I come by faith? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So what you are supposed to do as a believer is to invest time in the word of God, meditating on it, listening to teaching, confessing the word. In the midst of all of it, God will send you your word. See, certain verses of scripture mean different things to different people. When you pick Isaiah 50 and verse 4, what it means to me is different from what it means to everybody. Because I finished praying, I was reading my Bible, he sent that word to me. I have given you a tongue of the learned that you may speak a word in season to him that is weary. Morning by morning, he wakens my ear to hear as the learned. From that day, it was my experience. I don't wake up any day. First thing is a fresh idea from God. And how I responded and I adjusted to it is, from that moment, I started journaling. Long before devices came. We had books. I used to have a journal, hardbound book for every year, that I write the things he tells me. Because he said, I will wake you every morning and I will give you an idea. That's the truth. I woke up about 2 days ago. By the time I was done, I went back to the room and I told my wife, where I've started. I said, what do you mean? I said, I've started work on the book. And she smiled because she knew that for 3 days before then, I was struggling to just write introduction. But I woke up that morning, this is it. It's time to write this book. And I sat down and I started to talk. Now, how I responded, this is the challenge with a lot of people. They think answer to prayer is that God will do something. Sometimes what your prayer does to you is makes you sensitive, because what God wants to do is still going to come to you as an instruction. Some other person will wake up and you have not become yet. The Holy Spirit will say something. You will turn. You will push the duvet up. You will sleep. Then you now wake up and say, that thing. And if you don't make the most of little, it's not going to give you much. So when he gave you one small idea, you don't have something by your bed to capture it. That verse of scripture, you have not adjusted to it yet. You are not using your faith yet. Because faith is not something you dump on God. It's the one that gives you faith in the first place. And faith without works. Are you listening to me? Oh, I said, are you listening to me? Listen to this. God speaks primarily through the written word. This is important. If you are ignorant of his word, you will be deaf to his voice. If you are ignorant of his word, you will be deaf to his voice. If you want to become a prayer warrior, the first thing to do is not learn how to have strong voice. The first thing is you need to know the word of God. So this is what I'm trying to say. A lot of the time you will spend in God's presence is not asking anything, is reciting his word. That's why we take confession every day. You will notice if you take confessions with us every morning, every evening, there are some verses of scripture that will sit in your heart. Job 22:28. Okay? Everything I decide upon shall be done, and light will shine on the way ahead of me. See, you cannot declare that every day. It will just dawn on you. Everything I decide upon shall be done. Everything I decide upon shall be done. Everything I decide upon shall be done. And light will shine. The reason why it's going to be done is because when I make a move, it will illuminate my path. He speaks as you go. So I'm not afraid to take steps because I know he will speak as I go. There will be light on my path. There will be light. Everything I decide upon shall be done. So when God tells me, why don't you do this? I will decide to do it because everything I decide upon shall be done. Are we getting this? He speaks primarily by his word. So to be ignorant of his word is to be deaf to his voice. And when you pray, he wants to answer you and show you great and mighty things that you know not. And he does it with his word. God does not speak English. He speaks his word. Are we getting this? He speaks his word. So take a portion of your time. Go into God's presence. It's part of fellowship. But take scripture and confess scripture. Confess. Listen to this. When it comes to my wealth, my personal prosperity, it's no longer an issue. Do you know the reason why? Because there was a time when I was on campus, I gathered scriptures that have to do with prosperity, and I used to recite them every day. Some people go into God's presence, and what you are doing is you are just, Father, Lord, do it. Father, Lord, he says, no, you don't understand. There is a frame of mind you need to get to. What the Bible says, unto him who is able to do exceeding abundantly, far above what you ask or imagine. What would help you to imagine is you meditate on scripture to the point where your definition of possibility will change. And I would declare those scriptures every day. Every day. I wrote them down on paper. And I will recite them. That's how to start build. I told you that what an effective prayer life is built on the foundation of consistent meditation in scriptures. And there are some messages we'll leave this listen to over and over again. Over and over again. Over and over again. Because you want to get it. There are two messages right now by Craig Rochelle that I'm listening to every day. How did I stumble on this practice? Because those that went ahead of me told me, this is how we do it. Amen? Bishop Edebo said he went on a fast 3 days and he was carrying a book written, I think Gloria Copeland or something, on prosperity. He said, I was praying and I was reading. I got to a point, it dawned on me, I shouted, I can never be poor. Where is your own experience? Do you understand what I'm saying now? Where is your own experience? And when I say meditating with the word, it's not just King James NIV. Sometimes how you will capture the word is reading it from somebody who has broken it down. Oh, we read Hagin's books in those days. And what I love about Hagin is he will explain scripture, but the scripture is explained, he will put it there. So when you are reading a Hagin book, you are in the Bible. You will read the Bible, you will read this explanation, you will now read stories, testimonies of how that word has come to pass. See, you cannot continue to read such books and confess those scriptures and remain the kind of person. Because what we're telling you is that what happens in prayer is who you become, is what you are willing to dare. Everybody that knows me knows I'm never ashamed to ask. I'm never. What's the worst anybody will tell me? No. If you say no, did I have it before? So I ask. You understand what I'm saying? So you ask. But when you ask, you make sure you are asking for something that you can attract. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying. When I was going to go for my interview, I was not praying, Father. I was not saying, Father, Father, don't let them disappoint me. I said, Father, when I go to my interview, let them see through my facade. Let them see through my skin. Let my integrity shine forth, because I'm the kind of person they are looking for. It's people like me they give visas. Honest people. I don't know if you can say that about yourself. Hello? By the time we got to point of entry, me and Pastor D were gisting with the guy. So you're pastors? Yeah, we do this, we do that, blah, 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 blah. We don't even want to come live in your country. We have work we are doing. I know somebody's wondering, Pastor, as if it is me. I've gone. And that's why you can't go. I was just like, God, find a way for my heart to show forth. Because the challenge with human beings is they don't know who they are looking for. Open their eyes that they will see. I'm the kind of person, I'm coming to spend money. And I will keep coming to spend. I'm not there to beg their money. I'm not a liability to your system. See, but I'm just saying it. There's no way they can see my heart. That's the miracle. But you know, even some people, when it comes to heaven and hell, they are living a rubbish life. They say, God, by the time he wants to throw me to hell, you know God is powerful. He will just throw me to hell, but because he's a powerful God, he will just throw me beyond hell, I will just land in heaven. Have you heard people like that before? Yeah, NFA. As in, no future ambition. Well, but then the other ones, they are similar, but you understand what I'm saying? Some people just feel there's nothing I have to do. God will do everything. That even in going to heaven, I don't want to live right. I don't want to be born again. I want to be what I am now. Then God will mistakenly. So some people say, you know, God is a merciful God. On that day, we look at all of us and say, I can't just throw them to hell. He will just forgive us. Have you heard people like that before? And that's the way they live their life. They are forever looking for somebody that will come and have mercy on them. If somebody will just have mercy. In fact, they are praying to God, Father, my helper, my helper. And that's the problem. He said, you are a blessing. You see, when you meditate to the point where I cannot be a blessing and be broke. So when I see people, honestly speaking, I'm forever thinking, what am I here to give this person? Because I'm always going to be a giver. That's the truth. One morning we were praying. When we tell you to start praying over your list, listen, sometimes the Holy Spirit will tell you what to pray. I prayed to the point, it crossed my mind. I said, Father, I want you to use me to take care of my family. I said, from now on, and when I finished that prayer, I went to my wife and I told her, going forward from today, this is what I'm going to have to do, my sister, my brothers, everybody, every month, this is what I'm going to start doing. I'm telling you. And at the end of the month, even though I didn't have enough to go around, I responded by faith. I'll continue on that next week. And I sent money out. Less than 1 week later, somebody said, Pastor Shego, God said I should give you ₦1 million. You know the reason why? When you become, you will attract. And in less than 1 hour, 1 million has become less than 500,000. Because I'm a distributor. Are you getting this? Opportunities are coming. Amen? Opportunities are coming. But the question is, what are you doing in the place of prayer?